Well, amen. It's good to be back here in God's house this evening. We'll be in Philippians chapter 3 this evening. Certainly glad to see all of you here. Thankful that the Lord has allowed us another opportunity to be in His house and to worship Him in song and praise and in His Word. Wonder what life would be like if we concentrated on all that He's done for us instead of all that we don't have. Pretty joyful, wouldn't it? Be in prayer for those that are traveling. They'll be away, and some will be headed back this week early or tonight. So be in prayer for them as they travel. Philippians chapter number 3. I've noticed in the Wednesday night and the Sunday morning hours of worship and church service that I have been going over 12 o'clock hour by about 11 minutes and the 8 o'clock hour by about 13 minutes. I don't know what has happened. So I thought about tonight that we would just give you back some of your time. But I couldn't come by letting I couldn't get by the Lord by doing that. I thought about just coming up here and praying and saying, let's go and have choir. But I'll try my best, I promise you, to encourage you tonight. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, and use my time wisely. Philippians 3:10. The Bible says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already obtained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul started the church in Philippi. He was the one who planted it there, and I'm telling you, Paul cared for it, and he shared some of his desires for the church here. He just opened his heart up to them, and he wanted them to, more than anything in the world, Paul desired for the church at Philippi to know Christ, and to know Him more than just in a casual way. Paul wanted them to know Him in the power of His resurrection, as you see there in verse number 10. And his thought, listen, it's a very high thing to come to the point where you can actually know Christ in such a way, in such a close way that you know Him in the power of His resurrection there. So that was Paul's desire. And listen, he didn't think that he had reached it, by no means. He said it several times, I haven't apprehended. I haven't reached a point where I am complete or perfect in the Lord. There you see in verse 12, he says, not as though I've already obtained, either were already perfect. So he saw that not only in himself that he had not reached it, but he made it very clear. There's something we got to do. We've got to forget those things which are behind. Well, I'm telling you, we sometimes cling to some bad memories, don't we? We cling to some situations that didn't quite go the way we thought they should go. We hold on to some good memories. And that is a good thing, because even in the trophy here, then the concept which I'm trying to build is that we would be able to have a testimony of things that we could look back on and say, hey, we know that there's a God because of this. But we don't need to live in the past. We use that situation or that thing to move us forward. Boy, I tell you, if we don't quit living in the past, in the good past and the bad past, we're never going to press toward the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ because we're stuck in the past. Hey, I'm here to tell you, church, God has something for us to do and to do it together. And that's not continually rehashing everything that was good and everything that was bad throughout the history of Lock Haven Baptist Church. Praise God for a church that's still standing. Do you realize over 3,000 churches a year shut their doors? So praise God that we're still doors open, still able to have a place where we can meet and worship and to praise God. And listen, we may not be as large numerically, but I believe with all my heart, with one spirit and one cord and one mind, that we are much better off today than we were, say, in the 70s and 80s. I do believe so. I see a church, a people, a group of people who are willing to press toward that mark and be united together. And I see a group of people here at Lock Haven that the Lord desires to use greatly. And I see a group of people that has availed themselves to God. You know, there's a lot of folks, a lot of churches that have big numbers, but they don't have as many servants as we have. I talk to pastor friends all the time, and they tell me that they have 12, 13 people, 15 people that they can really depend on to serve in the house of God. Oh, what a shame. And they're running 300, 400, 500, 600. That's not good, church. Listen, if you're running 300, 400, 500, 600, 6,000, 7,000, you should have 300, 400, 500, 600, 7,000 servants. Just the way it should be. Just the way it should be. But I'm telling you, we have opportunity, church, to do some great things for God. Think about what God has already done. Most people, when they are reaching out to their community for the and trying to see a church planted, a church that will glorify God, usually don't have the group of people that we have here that are willing to be spent and spend it themselves. But we can't stop and be as if we've apprehended or that we've obtained. By no means have we reached this point. And Paul says, listen, church at Philippi, we've got to forget those things. And I'm telling you, the church at Philippi was a sacrificial church. You go over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and you read it sometime on your own. And Paul said, in their deep poverty, they gave of themselves first. That's the key. That's the key. Listen, you can have... I talked to a pastor not too long. Am I even on?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Okay. I can't hear myself. Maybe something in my ear or something there. I don't know. But anyway, I talked to a pastor, and he was talking to me and telling me that for the first 7 years, he didn't even get to pastor his church. He had some people with a lot of wealth in his church that was doing the pastoring. Ooh, that's not good. See, money does not make you over or preeminence in the body of Christ. Not at all. What it does is that's the blessings of God upon your life, and you should use it for His glory and His honor. Just because someone has money or don't have money doesn't make them a servant either. You can be broke as Job's turkey. Is broke or poor as Job's turkey. Poor as Job's turkey and still not be a servant. You can be as wealthy as Warren Buffett and still not be a servant. Now, you can be as poor as Job's turkey and be a servant, and you can be as wealthy as Warren Buffett and still be a servant. So it's not the material gains that we have. It is that which we avail ourselves to, and that's to God Almighty. And say, God, here am I. Send me. Think about old Isaiah when King Uzziah died. What was his very first prayer there. Lord, here am I. And I see in our church a group of people that's saying, here am I. Lord, use me. Here am I. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not there yet. Well, there's no reason you can't be. Because God's been awful good to all of us. I mean, He has blessed us with tremendous blessings upon our life. And so we can forget those things which are past. And we can say this, I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on. You know, we got to press on whether things go good or whether they go bad. It's not going to always go good, church. Not in our life. I mean, there's going to be sicknesses. There's going to be financial woes. There's going to be decisions that we made in the past that we thought were really good decisions at the time. And then when the fruit of that decision is brought forth, we're like, wow, how did I get caught up in that? Well, you still can't sit down on God. You just press on. Lord, I'm sorry. I made that choice and I thought it was a good choice and it didn't work out the way I thought it was. Lord, here am I. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. And I'm going to tell you, there's some areas that we can just press on in. And I'm going to tell you, the first thing we can press on is in our passion for mission and outreach. We as a church, that has to be the heartbeat of our desire is to reach out into our community. We cannot be like a pond that water comes in and nothing ever goes out. We have to be like a river of life springing forth, and we have to reach out, refreshing our community. We have to reach out, refresh other churches, by the way. You know, there's some churches. Once a month, Pastor Glenn Riggs has invited church pastors to come and to just sit down and have breakfast with him up in Sanford. We just meet at a mutual place, nobody's church, and we just meet, and we were talking there, and there was about nine pastors there, and just talking about things, and I asked a question. I had a question. The reason I go is because I'm looking for answers, for help. And I asked a question. I said, look, I'm seeing a trend that is troubling to me, and maybe you men could help me. And so I proposed the question. And the question was dealing with the college and career age kids, or men, young men. They're men and women. If you're a man and you're 18, you should already been to the post office and said, here am I. What'd they call that thing? I did it so long ago, I forgot what they call it. What they call it? Register. Register for military service. Here am I. Go. So they're men and they're ladies. But they are the most physical, capable servants in God's kingdom. They have wisdom. Listen, they have zeal, they have strength, they have youth, they have vitality, but they have no knowledge. We've got to give it to them. Because what happens, this world's pulling. The clubs, the entertainment, it's there. Society is telling them that church is old-fashioned. That church is not important. You know what's done that to us? Just going to be honest with you. And I almost preached this sermon tonight, but I said, no, this here's the cream of my crop, and I don't want to do that to them. I'm going to save it for Sunday morning. Not knowing the difference between clean and unclean is found in Ezekiel. They call that which is holy, unholy. You know what's done that to us? Television. Really. I mean, we look at church almost like an episode anymore. Well, if I missed an episode, it's okay. Well, no. Dear friend, church is Christ died and gave himself for it. And so we have to be passionate and pressing on, reaching out to our community. It's important. I mean, it is so important. Not only that, we must be passionate about being Christ-like. We got to be passionate about being Christ-like. We immolate so many people nowadays. Some of you can mock and mimic and immolate some of these people that are in this world. Different. We need to be a mirror like the moon shining forth the sun at night. Because we're in a dark day. I mean, we're in a dark day. Well, preacher, I just don't know how to be more Christ-like. You've got to get in that book. You got to get in that book. One thing as I was studying about that which is clean and unclean, was this. I might just preach them both tonight. Who knows? But we don't get in the Bible enough. You know, some people use their Bible more for pressing flowers than they do for pressing their soul. What a shame. Some of us treat it like it's a football. We'll toss it in the car, toss it on the desk. Listen, this is a clean and holy thing. How are we going to be more Christ-like? Get in the book and reflect Christ. We've got to be passionate about being Christ-like. Hey, we've got to be passionate about souls that are spent eternity in a devil's hell unless we present them with the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to be passionate about our giving. Not just financially. Praise God, we have some giving people. We do. I mean, our church, I tell you, you amaze me. When we have a special project like January when we do the paper offering for the print press, or we took up the offering for the bus, for whatever reason, we have generous people. They have realized and they open up themselves. I'm talking, we need to be generous, passionate about giving of our time and talents to be a help to other people, to disciple, to train. And I'm preaching to myself too. I get so busy doing so many things that I miss some opportunities to be a good mentor. I really do. God, forgive me. Shame on me. But I think we all could say the same thing. We've got to be passionate about giving, pressing on with our passion. It's football season. This is the best time of the year. And college football is on, dear friend. I know you Florida fans are happy. Y'all had a bye week, so you didn't have to cry today. So you'll be all right. Next week, you can handle that. Florida State's excited. They beat Nevada 70-something to 6. The Wolf Pack came down. Listen, I'm passionate. We wouldn't dare spend money to go to a football game and sit on our hands. And our team is in the fourth quarter about to lose, and then they get an interception for a pick six. No, we wouldn't. We'd be passionate. We'd get excited. Well, I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we're in the fourth quarter in this thing for God. The devil thinks he's won, but Jesus Christ said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. We need to be excited. We need to be passionate, dear friend. Listen, there was this old crazy interviewer, a reporter, whatever you want to call him, interviewing Thomas Edison many, many years ago. And he wanted to be slick and be all funny and asked Mr. Edison a question. How did it feel, Mr. Edison, to fail and be unsuccessful in inventing the light bulb and make 2,000 mistakes? He said, and this is what Thomas Edison said, quote, I never failed once. It just so happened that it's a 2,000-step process to have a light bulb. This is how you look at things, dear friend. It's just how, listen, we got to have some passionate people in our churches that are never, ever willing to give up. You know what Calvin Coolidge said? You know who he was? Who can help me? Any of you young kids tell me who Calvin Coolidge was. I'll give you a $5 bill. Who? What president? What president? 30th. You know what he said? Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Nothing in this world. Listen, talent won't do it. Talent will not do it. Listen, there's nothing more common in this world as unsuccessful people with talent. Just talented as they can be and not successful at all. Why? They're not persistent. They just don't stay at it. Not at all. Listen, a genius will not get it done. Unrewarded genius is almost like a proverb. You ever heard the term educated beyond intelligence? We got a lot of intelligent geniuses that could not fight themselves out of a boot that's wet with instructions on the bottom of the heel. No. Listen, you look at some folks, they turn sideways, they look like a library, the heads just stacked with books. Ain't got a lick of common sense. None whatsoever. Listen, education will not do it. This world is full of educated derelicts. Did y'all happen to see, dear friend, those idiots? Yes, I said idiots. I'm sorry. Those idiots that attacked General Petraeus the other day in New York City when he was walking to his job. Oh, Lord. Those students at that college, he's now teaching at this college, they chased him down the street, hollering and screaming. You would have thought we were back in Vietnam days. You smell like blood. You're a warmonger. We don't want you here at our college. Oh, God, help us. Oh, General Petraeus, listen, I don't agree with everything he did, I don't follow him. I'm not a man follower, but like a soldier, he just walked on. Just walked on doing his job, headed to teach. Listen, I saw a T-shirt the other day. I graduated college, and I made it out not a liberal. Listen, dear friend, education ain't going to help you. Get all the education you can get. It's needful. But if you hadn't caught on yet, education is against God nowadays. Go to college. But you go to college with God in your life and the Bible in your mind and soaked in that Word of God, and you get all the education you can get and you use it for the glory of God. Don't let them change you to be what they want you to be. Be an individual thinker. Press on. Be passionate. Be passionate and press on about the doctrines of the Word of God. You know, we're hearing so often, oh, that really don't matter. That book's outdated. So forth and so on. Listen, we need to keep the central heartbeat of our church, the doctrines of that book. That has to be the central heartbeat of our church, the Bible. We can't get enough Bible. Oh, I love singing. I love the choir. I love volleyball. I love basketball. I love youth night. And I love the skits at the kids. I love Vacation Bibles. I love Discovery Club. But if it becomes a circus and not a Bible-training tool, it is useless in the cause of Christ. Useless, dear friend. Let me tell you something. The philosophy of the church is not right. The church will not be right. What's the philosophy of our church? The Bible's our sole authority. That's it. The Bible. God's Word. Oh, friend, it's so important to have. You can't have enough Bible. There's not enough. You cannot have enough Bible in your life. That's why Deuteronomy 6 says we'll bind it on the doorpost. We'll put it on his blinders. We'll write it on the wall. We'll talk about it as we sit down. We'll rise up. That's why in the house of God we should bring our Bibles. That's why I'm telling you, dear friend, as a pastor, I'm against pew Bibles. I'm against pew Bibles. Well, visitors may need to have a Bible. Let's get them a Bible. If I had pew Bibles in here, half of our church would be tempted to leave their Bible at home. You would not be familiar with the sword. You know what King David said when he got up there ready to fight Goliath? Saul threw his armor on him, and I can imagine, look at him. He said, I can't use this stuff. I've never tried it. I've got me a new Bible now. It was bought for me in 07. Just started using it this year, not even a month ago. Maybe 2 months, I don't forget. But listen, I'm not familiar with it. I'm not familiar with it all. I'm telling you, we need to be familiar with it. We need to just press on with the Word of God. Everybody wants to get away from the Word of God. You've got to tell stories, got to have poetry. You got to have a joke every now and then. And I'm not against them. But nothing should outweigh the Word of God. In our services, in our Sunday school class, in our Bible clubs, everything should be surrounded and centered around the Word of God. Why is that? Because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ used on the devil. He didn't get out his jacks and start playing jacks with Satan. You know what he said? Man, should I live by word alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the word of God that's important. And I'll tell you, we're going to press on. We're going to have to press on for the work of the Lord. Oh, it's easy sometimes to get thinking we're in the fifth quarter, but we're not in the fifth quarter. We're not. You know, the Bible talks about praying for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Oh, we need to not only pray, we need to be a laborer. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, being involved in the work of a local church, you are involved in the work of the Lord. And that's important. Being involved. Listen, the local church is the institution that the Lord is using nowadays. I thank God for people who are doing things and trying to do things, but if it's not underneath the umbrella and sanctioned by a local New Testament church, dear friend, I'm telling you there's going to come a day that it will run amok and it will get bad and it will go under. Because the Lord works through His church. And we got to be careful that we understand that being in whatever you do, if you teach a Sunday school class, you are involved in the work of God. That's important. So press on. Keep on keeping on, dear friend. Look over at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. How do we press on? We're talking about a race. We're talking about a runner, an Olympic, just pressing on. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Somebody's watching us. They're looking all around at us. I believe they're looking at us on earth, and they're looking at us from heaven. I believe also they're looking at us from hell. How do you know that? Because the rich man said, hey, send Lazarus back to my brother. Hey, be careful. We got a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight. There's some things in our life, dear friend, that is hindering us from pressing on. We'll get to the sin. But it says a weight. Let us listen, there's some things. We need to look into our life and evaluate ourselves, our time, and our ability and see what is weighting us down that we are not pressing on toward that mark. You know there's some things, and I don't care what it is. If it is clipping your fingernails, dear friend, and you chew and gnaw and clip them and manicure them and pedicure them so much that you cannot spend time in the Word of God in prayer and witnessing to somebody, dear friend, it is a weight. Television, newspapers, sewing, there's some weight. This weight. I'm not talking about sin yet because I hadn't gone there. It says, and the sin. So there's things in our life that are not necessarily sin that's weighting us down. We're running this race and something has us and pulling on us, weighting us down. If we just lay it aside, we can press on just a bit further. Just a bit further. And then he says, and the sin, which does so easily beset us. Sometimes I believe, Brother Bernie, we clear out the sin and can't figure out what's got us. We ain't made no traction. The Bible says, and the weight. There's some good things in our life, dear friend. If they're not organized and prioritized right, everything in moderation. Moderation. We got to be careful because it besets us. And then it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Church, we're going to have to just press on. Listen, I know you get tired, you get weary, you get disappointed. Press on. Press on. It's well worth it. There's a race that's been set before us. This is what my desire is. Maybe for our church is that when we reach the Bema Seat of Christ and we individually are given account to Christ, that we'll be found faithful. Not only will we be found faithful, but we'll be found with much fruit that is abounding to our account. We're not in this for ourselves. We're in it for the cause of Christ. And Christ gave Himself that sinful men and women might come to know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Press on, church.